Hello, and welcome to Me, the Wife and Wrexham AFC.
A weekly podcast and YouTube channel where we discuss all things Wrexham AFC from the point of view of long-term fans and new fans.
So sit back, put your feet up, relax, and let's get stuck in. Hello and welcome to episode 87 of Me, the Wife and Wrexham AFC. Everything is good with the world. We have taken 4 points from the last week.
Mullins back. Ollie's back.
Everything.
Lee's back.
Great guns. Would have been nice if it was 6 points from the week, but look, I'll take four. Hey. I will take 4 points from the week. I think it's been a really good week. One thing worth mentioning that's just come out of the club this week. The autism-friendly football sessions are going to be back at Easter. A place on these sessions is free of charge.
Easy for you to say.
I know, sorry. So there's two sessions, one for secondary school age children. That's on Monday, the 25th of March, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. And there's another one for primary school age children on Wednesday, the 27th of March, between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. Completely free. If you want to book your child a place on one of these sessions, all you have to do is email kerry.evans@wrexhamafc.co.uk. They always run these. They're brilliant.
And the fact that they're free of charge as well is just amazing.
Yes. They're basically, what happens is they get some funding from somewhere, and that pays for each child's place on the course.
Doing something right then.
I'm not sure it is the government, to be honest. But
No?
I don't know.
Well, whoever it is, thank you.
Yeah. Right, so we've got two games to talk about.
First one, not as great as the second.
No, but... not at all. We're going to talk about Forest Green. We're also going to talk about the Accrington game as well. And we're going to look ahead to next Saturday's game as well.
Yes.
Sian's going to do the quiz, as she always does.
Yay!
I don't know, you've done all right recently.
Yeah.
I think you're getting into the swing of the whole two lies, one truth, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm catching on to your lies.
Maybe. Maybe I need to stop doing it then, otherwise I'm not going to get away with as much. Let's start with Forest Green.
Then. Yep.
Three changes.
Yes.
Hayden, Young and Mullin all came into the starting lineup. I'm happy with that.
I was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good to see Hayden back, and it was good to see Young starting as well.
Yeah, and Mullin obviously starting.
It's always good to see Mullin, isn't it? It goes without saying.
Yeah, it is. He's had a bit of a rest, and, you know, we just needed him to get back firing on all cylinders, like the Paul Mullin that we know he is.
Yeah.
Still,
and I think,
deep down inside.
Yeah, and I think... He did play well on Tuesday at the Forest Green game, but we sort of...
We still more to come from him, maybe, on the Tuesday, did you think?
Yeah.
There was more coming, yeah.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look, worst possible start to a game. You're playing, you know, second to bottom in the league. You know, you go there and... You know, you just want to stamp your authority a little bit. You've had a bad run of form. You know, you want to... Especially away from home. You want to put... You know, who better to play than a team that is at the bottom of the table? They've only won six games, I think, maybe all season. Five or six games they've only won all season. You know, it's a good opponent on paper to go and play... when you're in a little bit of a rut and you want to get a win to get yourself going again.
See, for me,
yeah,
I think those sort of teams are very, very dangerous, as we found out on Tuesday when we played Forest Green.
Especially, I don't think what happened Tuesday would have happened if we'd have played the game when it was originally planned to be played.
So they were a whole different team, weren't they?
Yeah, it was planned to be played in December, and it got
November,
called off.
December sometime, yeah.
When it was, back then, and it was very wet. And
that cost you.
Yeah, and it was very wet, and they called it off when our fans were three quarters of the way there, which was quite
annoying. They called off at like 10 o'clock or something ridiculous.
I'm not sure. I know
it was a ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah, I know our fans were very... very much on the way to the game.
Yes.
It was, I think when you're coming towards the end of the season, the teams that are in and around the relegation area are quite dangerous to play.
Yes, so I just said.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, teams down the bottom start going, ooh, we're going down.
We don't want to go down.
We better start. And, you know, they've got quite a few loan players come in. You know, it's a new look team.
It's a new manager, is it?
New manager as well. So on paper, should be beating them easy. You know, the reality of it is, you know, it's always going to be
football
a little bit...
Football isn't like that, though, is it?
It's always going to be more difficult than that, as we found out. Worst possible start. Luke Young, who you were very happy was back in the starting 11.
Yeah.
He got his pocket picked in the midfield. And they broke away less than 3 minutes on the clock.
Yeah.
In fairness to the lad, he went clean through, sort of round Owen. He had a bit of pace, got round Owen with the through ball through the middle. And I thought he's going to take it in a bit closer. He just hit it. He hit it nice and early, right in the corner. It was a really good finish. And I was like...
Conquo was just like...
Yeah,
what?
And it was, you know, as big as he is, there was nothing he could have done about it. It was in the perfect place.
Yeah.
So we're 3 minutes in, away from home.
I was ready to turn off, to be honest.
And it was just like, already? And it just, you know, it already feels like an uphill struggle.
Like a normal away game of recent history.
Yes. And it was that horrible sort of, it's happening again, isn't it? It's happening again. We can't even beat bottom of the league. Well, second to bottom of the league. You know, we played Sutton recently. We played Forest Green recently. And you're just like, we can't beat anyone. We can't beat anyone away from home. Do you know what made the game worse for me?
What?
What made the game worse was the absolutely disgusting camera angle that they decided to show the game at.
The commentary wasn't great either because we couldn't get Mark.
No, we couldn't. No, we couldn't get Mark's. Sorry, I'm just wandering off. We couldn't get Mark's commentary.
No.
So we had BBC Radio
Gloucester, who would not shut up about the fog. They went on and on and on about the fog. It just was like, it was incessant and it was so annoying.
It was annoying. He sounded like Josh Widdicombe, which as soon as I heard it, I couldn't unhear it
anymore.
A lot anymore.
Of people said that, you know, on Twitter.
And then he just went on about the fog. He kept on talking about how Forest Green were really hard done to with every single thing that happened. Don't get me wrong, it was Forest Green commentary. They were going to be more geared towards Forest Green fans. Just annoyed me that, you know, you sort of pay your money
to listen to your commentary.
To listen to the away team's commentary from a really crappy angle. I felt like I was on the right wing for a bit. I kept on putting my arm up for the ball. You know, it was so low. And when the ball was over the other side, I was working. So I was watching it on a phone, you know, not even on a TV.
You weren't working.
No, I was on my break when I was watching
it. Just to clarify, anybody working with us.
And then, but when the ball was on the far side, I couldn't see where the ball was. I just had to judge
Are you sure that wasn't because of the fog?
Maybe it was the fog.
The fog?
Maybe the fog.
You know, the fog.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, so, and then that, everything coupled together, it was just like, I've wasted my money here paying for this game. But yeah, okay, anyway, we 1-0 down.
Yeah.
It just felt like an uphill struggle. They nearly made it 2 as well.
They
had a header. The ball went out wide. They had a header. Arthur made a decent save, to be fair, in about a quarter of an hour in. And I'm sitting there going, I was a bit lost. I was a bit like, you know, you were joking. You were just going to turn off when they scored.
Yeah.
I nearly did turn off, I think. At the point where I was going,
What's going to happen?
So pessimistic. So I've always been, not pessimistic. I haven't always been pessimistic. I've been realist, I would say. I've been a realist in the sense of I've watched football for so many years, and you know a game's never won. You know,
until
when you
when
you think it's won, you know, teams who are completely up against it can break away and score. You know, things can happen in football. But more, but recently, especially when we're playing away from home, I've become so pessimistic in the sense of we go 1-0 down and I'm like a toddler. I'm going, oh, it's over. That's it. It's over. It's only, there's 87 minutes left, but it doesn't matter. We've lost.
I'm not
That's it.
Toddler would be like that.
No, do you know what I mean? Just like a after going off, for God's sake, we've lost this now. What's the point in watching? What's the point of anything? You know, and it's like, but that's how I feel. I've lost that. Oh, doesn't matter. We're gone. You know,
Wrexham.
Last season, we go 1-0 down. I'm like, ah, don't matter. We'll score five. It's fine. You know, but I have lost that recently.
League Two is a whole different kettle of fish than
look,
National League.
I know it is, but even...
You should know that better than me.
But that doesn't really... That point doesn't really hold weight because when we've played teams like Salford this season, being 2-0 down, 3-1 down against Crewe, 4-2 down and 5-3 down against Swindon, they're all games this season that we've come back to rescue, to win or to draw or, you know, whatever. So earlier in the season, I had that belief. That was League Two. And we were down and I was still thinking, we're going to score here. I'm happy. We are going to score. You know, we might not get all the way back, but I was always confident we were going to score. I've lost that, especially away from home. Like I say, I have lost that belief that we're going to score. I just don't feel like that anymore away from home. We go 1-0 down and I think it's done. I just can't see how we're going to get back into it. And I know, you know, I don't know really. It's just sort of, it's just the way I feel. Let's talk about our feelings for a bit.
Well, I'm always positive when it comes to Wrexham.
Yeah, I know you are.
And as much as that may annoy you...
It doesn't annoy me. It's great to be positive in life, I think. But...
You're not.
not so much at the moment is what the point I'm trying to make.
None of my positivity ever rubs off on you?
No.
No?
Not when it comes to football, no. And another thing that never rubs off on me, you like a motivational quote as well, don't you?
I do like a motivational quote.
No, I hate them. Sorry. I'm sorry to bring it up.
We've been together 14 years and I did not know that.
Yeah, you liar, because I point them all out and go, this is rubbish.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
Well, I'm not stopping.
No, that's fine. look, let's get back to the football.
Yes.
We sort of huffed and puffed in the first half, didn't we, a little bit.
But we didn't blow anything down.
We certainly did not. At the end of the first half, we got to... I'm a stats sort of person. I like looking at stats. And we had one shot on target, OK? Now, I'm going to cancel that out. It was Andy Cannon scuffed something. It went into the ground and it rolled to the keeper. The keeper had to wait for it to get to him to pick it up. And that was logged
maybe
as...
Maybe he couldn't see it because of the fog.
That was logged as a shot on target. It just wasn't, okay? But for the purposes of this, yes, okay, fine. But, you know, we keep going through these halves of football where we're not having shots on target. It's all well and good being in control of the ball. And it's all well and good, you know, passing it side to side to side to side. My neck was hurting by the end. Just constant side to side with no real end product. We were getting the ball in there, but how can a team in our position go a whole half without a shot on target, especially against a team who are bottom? Now, I'm gonna sort of backtrack on that a little bit.
Okay.
Because as soon as they score, they're desperate for points, Forest Green, because they're in the mire and they're one of the favourites to go down. So they're desperate for points.
How many people go down? Is it two?
Two. Yes.
So it's
Sutton and Forest Green So they went 1-0 up. And basically what they did was they just went, right, 11 men behind the ball. And look, it's very dull to watch, that is. But they're fighting for every yeah. point they can get. So I don't really blame them for that. But at the same time, yes, we passed it side to side to side, which was dull. And we didn't really get many shots off. But to reverse myself out of my point before, it is very hard to break teams down that just have so many players behind the ball. It really is. And that showed on Tuesday. Yeah. Because I think defensively, they were relatively well organised. You know, you don't need to be... itchy foot, sorry. you don't need to be that well organised when you've got that many players behind the ball. Mm. You know, it's sort of hard to break down. And we kept going wide, but the crosses were poor as well. And, you know, when you go wide to get it in, to try and get around the back of a quite a solid 11-man wall that you've got in front of you, you know, your crosses have got to be spot on.
Yeah.
And you've got to have strikers and midfielders who are going to gamble a little bit to get in behind. So it was sort of twofold. The crosses weren't great. Mm. But yeah, they were all right, but they weren't great. And no one was really gambling to get in the right sort of areas. So, you know, we ended up first half, there wasn't really much to report. It was just sort of, I think if you watch the highlights back, it sort of almost jumps from their goal to the second half because
nothing happened.
Not a lot really happened in that first half. Second half, we just kept pushing really. And it was more of the same from the first half. They just had so many men behind the ball. It was really hard to break down.
Yeah.
We kept trying to push it wide and getting it in. I think sometimes Parky's philosophy is very much patience. Have patience. Opportunities will come your way. And I think we had sort of...
Sorry, is that a quote?
What?
Be patient and opportunities will come your way.
Does it sound like one of your motivational quotes?
It sounds very much like a motivational quote.
It does a little bit, doesn't
so,
it?
So, in your face, Ryan.
I've just come up with one. Didn't even realise, yeah. Be patient and opportunity will come your way.
Love it.
Wow. Let's get that in a frame on the wall, shall we? Yeah, I know. There's no room on the wall because of all your other motivational quotes that you've got up everywhere. The one thing that I sort of remember about the second half was I sort of felt maybe we should have had a penalty. Young got fouled, what I felt was fouled right on the edge of the box, maybe inside, maybe outside. Mm-hmm. But when I looked at the replay, the lad sort of reached in, didn't get the ball, and it felt like he was very late on Young. But so I thought the ref maybe missed one there, or he didn't miss it. He just didn't think it was a penalty.
Or he didn't say it because of the fog.
I know, the fog, the bloody fog. It was just constant, though, wasn't it? He was just going on and on about the fog all the time.
It was rather annoying. So I think I should stop before I annoy people that are listening and watching this.
Yeah, I don't know. We had one or two chances, I think, in the second half, but nowhere near what you would expect for the level of possession that we had.
Yeah.
I think we had three quarters of the possession and we only had a few shots on target. Marriott whizzed one wide.
So I've got something.
You all right there?
Yeah, I'm not fluttering my eyelashes at you. I've got something in my eye. I'm trying to get it out. Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. And then we got a 92nd minute penalty.
Do you think it was a penalty?
Do I think it was a penalty? My God, was it a penalty? I thought it was dangerous, reckless. If I'm honest, I thought it was a sending off.
He got a yellow card for it.
He was high. He was over the ball. It was stud showing.
Genuine penalty for Mullen.
A genuine penalty, yeah.
Yeah.
No dive needed.
And I don't even think when he went down, I don't think he sat on his bum and went.
No,
which he usually does.
Ref, give it quick though. He didn't have time. So I thought it was really dangerous.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really dangerous tackle. Caught him right on the shin. It was very high. I don't know how that wasn't a red. If I'm honest, look, he scored it. He tucked it away like he normally does.
Do you think Mullen needed that? Because obviously we're going to talk about the Accrington game next. Do you think that that kind of motivated him to perform the way he did?
I think he needed something.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
If we'd have gone, let's say somebody else, let's say Ollie popped up with an equaliser in the 90 odd minutes, whatever it was, on Tuesday night, and it wasn't Mullin, I'm not sure we would have maybe seen the same performance from him on Saturday. I just think he needed something.
Just to give him a cheer.
And, you know, he'd had 90 minutes where he had one shot, didn't he, that whizzed over the bar from outside the box. And I just felt if he would have had four or five shots on target and the keeper had saved them all and he'd have got out of that game and not scored, I think that would have given him the same sort of impetus to go into Saturday.
Yeah.
As it was, that didn't happen for him. You know, he didn't get many chances.
No.
So I think he needed, I think he needed that goal just to you know, get the goal scoring boots working again. And, it, you know, push on into Saturday.
I was watching it on my own because obviously you were in work. And as soon as Mullin scored, I went, yes, he's back.
Yeah.
And sort of like, yes.
On your own.
I get a bit excited when I'm on my own.
Did you ever cheer like that? And then you turn around and go, oh, there's no one here.
I think I cheered. And I think Alfie came downstairs and said, oh, they scored, have they? Because he's just not interested in football whatsoever. But I was, I loved it. I was so happy for him.
Yeah.
So happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, we came away with 1 point.
What's that?
I don't know. It wasn't a great start. It wasn't a great middle. And it was an okay end with the penalty.
Yeah. Look, I think in the grand scheme of things, I think, as I said, I think it was very hard to break down a team like that. Although, if I'm gonna pull a negative from it, sometimes I look at it. It depends how you look at this, the formation that we play. It depends if you look at it as three at the back or five at the back. Or it's how you can sort of judge it, because I think to go somewhere like Forest Green and have five defenders on the pitch and a couple of defensive midfielders and then very few attack-minded players, there is an argument there which a lot of people have, you know, put out on Twitter that's the sort of game where maybe you change it up a little bit. You have a less defensive presence on the pitch. You have a plan B, whereas you can be more attacking. You maybe have three up front, or you maybe push your wide players a little bit further up the pitch and you attack them a little bit more. But having said that, why switch from the formation that you've played all season? I don't know if it's who we've got on the bench, but sometimes I just want to see changes a bit quicker. We've spoke about this so many
times. It's usually Bolton, Marriott, if they're not starting.
Yeah.
Tozer, if he's not starting.
Yeah.
Jordan Davis, if he's not starting. And Young, maybe.
I think for me, we got to half time. Not a lot had happened. I think that's the point I'd want to go.
Yeah.
Right, let's try a different formation. We didn't necessarily have to change personnel. I don't think really, but he could have just switched things around a little bit to be a bit more direct and try and get the ball into some different areas. But he doesn't, because that's not Parky's way. So it is what it is. So you've just got to suck that up. And
this is the thing, though. You think, right, we say things about formations and stuff like that, and yes, it's Parky's way. But I just feel like a lot of the time, sometimes it doesn't work. But I think Parky is experienced enough to know when it's going to work and when it's not.
Yeah, yes.
And he necessarily doesn't have to have a plan B in his pocket because he doesn't need it. or he feels he doesn't need it.
No, but sometimes he does need that plan B.
Everybody needs a plan B.
But I'm not sure we've always got it. It's just a case of, let's chuck on another striker.
I don't know.
I'm not being too critical because I like I said, I think everyone was quite damning after Tuesday.
Mm.
Me, not so much. I did, although I did call us a toothless tiger, a toothless lion, I called us at one point.
And we brother said a gummy bear.
Yeah, because then we, because I was like, we can roar all day long, but we can't bite anyone. Mm. I didn't use them exact words that
That's
I, but,
another quote.
Yeah. Yeah, another motivational
quote. How many quotes can we get out of Ryan today in episode 87?
Yeah, so it, yeah, that, but, you know, when I've had time to reflect and I've looked back, and maybe it was a lot harder to break them down than it initially appeared. Yes. And I think I've softened a little bit towards Tuesday because of what happened on Saturday. Maybe.
Is that a segue?
That is a segue.
Let's talk about Accrington.
So,
yes.
Three more changes. Boyle came back.
Yep.
Were you surprised?
I was, actually.
Yeah.
I was. I thought, but, you know, again, Parky knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And to be fair to him, he played well.
Yeah.
Didn't make any silly mistakes like he usually does, because I think he's...
No.
I think he's had a stern word had from Parky.
Yeah.
And it's like, just don't make...
Just don't get sent off
again. Don't get sent off, and don't be an idiot with your, you know, yeah, tactics and stuff.
Yeah. Mendy came in.
Yep.
And played on the left, which meant Mr. McLean was in the middle.
Yep. Two comments I would like to make about those two people.
Yes.
Mendy, bunches, loved it. Loved it.
Yeah.
McLean, hairband. I do want to ask if a miracle and McLean does watch this,
yeah,
how do you keep your hairband in all game? Because every time I wear a hairband, it slides up at the back. But yeah, yours seems to be like intact all game. I'm really curious about that.
Is it not a complete...
Yeah. No, oh, it's right, an elastic.
Yeah.
But elastic, you know, if you've got like a weird shaped head.
You've got a weird little pea head though, haven't you? You've really small head, so it probably just keeps...
Any hints or tips, McLean, that you've got for keeping the hairband in? I'm listening.
One comment I would like to make about the hairband, please don't wear it again. I was quite interested though, because I know he's got daughters. So I wondered one or two things, whether one of his daughters had gone, can you wear my hairband? Whether they've been, can you wear my hairband for a game?
Yeah.
And he'd gone, anything for you, I'll wear the hairband. Or whether that was an actual choice that he made to keep that hairband. Because he hasn't got that much hair that he needs to keep it out of his eyes.
Well, yeah. There was a picture of somebody who had their photograph taken with him after the game, I think. And he must have had a shower and everything, because his hair was like, no hairband, it was like up and it... Like, you know, like it was styled.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's not in your face, is it?
So, no.
But yeah, maybe it was because of his daughter.
Maybe.
But anyway.
I don't know.
Mendy.
Let's not make this all about the hairband.
No. But Mendy, I was talking to two of the girls that were in the Macron stand.
Yeah.
While you were having your beer with my brother and your dad. And I said, not sure about the hairband, but loving the bunches.
Yeah.
Loving the bunches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm in for it. Love you, Mendy.
You're in for it.
I'm in for it.
Okay, cool. And then the other change, finally, Ollie Palmer got the start that everyone's been shouting for quite
and
some
time.
The fact
that we won, is it a coincidence?
Well, there's that. We'll come on to that, obviously, in a minute. You know, everyone. And I'd said before, everyone wanted it. Everyone wanted Ollie back. And I think it just had to happen.
Yeah.
Just to either prove the fans right or prove the fans wrong. One or the other had to happen. If you start him and he was rubbish,
then don't start
then
him.
Then Parky goes, I told you so. That's why he's not going to do
I'm
that.
I'm not but sure you, he would say that,
get,
but yeah.
You get the point.
Yeah.
I told you so. That's why he's not playing. That's why sometimes he's not even in the squad.
Yeah.
For that reason, can everyone shut up and stop asking for him to be starting now?
Yeah.
Or the flip side of that is everything
in
goes,
your face, Parky.
Everything goes really well.
Yeah.
And the fans go, we told you so.
Yeah.
To get him back in.
Do you honestly think that he put him back in the starting 11 because us fans said that we wanted it?
No. No, not at all.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No, not at all.
But it was good to see him and Mullen. The bromance.
The dynamic duo back together.
Well, you could really say the three, Musketeers, Ollie Palmer, Elliot Lee and Paul Mullen.
Yeah, you could
they
do.
They are very much...
Yeah, I would say I want to, I prefer dynamic duo.
Okay.
I don't, you know...
We'll stick with yours then.
Yes, thank you.
So Mullen got his first goal within 16 minutes.
Yes, but before you mention that, sorry, I just flicked your mic then.
Again.
Before that, for a team, yeah, just go back to Ollie for a second.
Sorry.
For a team that have been struggling to get shots on target and to struggling to score goals, we bring Ollie back. They went great, but he had two shots on target in the first 10 minutes.
Yep.
And I turned to you or somebody and I
said...
It wasn't
me because I was sitting in front of you.
Okay, yeah. And I sort of said, 10 minutes in... And he has got more shots on target in that 10 minutes than we have in whole games in some games, you know, over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, okay, the quality of shot wasn't there, but...
But it was still a shot
but
on target.
Yeah, he was still wanting to get a shot off. And, and he did it twice in the first 10 minutes. And yep. I was like, this is sort of what we need yep. is, we need to be going, if you don't shoot, you're never going to win, are you?
No.
That was a nice start to the game for me.
Yeah.
As you said.
So as I said, Mullen scored his first goal in 16 minutes.
Yes.
McLean passed it to Barnett. No, he didn't. Max Cleworth, passed it to Barnett and Barnett shooted it over to the goal.
Kicked
it over.
You sounded like you'd never seen football in your life then.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what... Like,
cross.
Thank you.
Crossed it over.
Yes. Towards the goal and the players, obviously. And then, I was going to swear then.
You went, I could just see the venom in your eyes then.
He passed it and Mullen got a header and it was a good goal.
He passed it and a header and a goal. Yeah, sorry, I'm not taking the mic.
You are so taking the mic.
Yeah, I am taking the mic.
So yeah, so Mullen got his first goal and celebrated in front of the fourth wall.
Yes.
Which was good. To be fair, a lot of people have said that the temporary stand is like a morgue and nobody cheers and stuff like that.
I think one of them people was you.
It was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was watching yesterday, obviously, because...
Got a bit of abuse for that as well, didn't you?
A little bit. but I was just stating facts. But then, obviously, that goal went in and they were very vocal on Saturday.
Yeah.
It was good.
I think somebody asked if you were deaf, didn't they? Well, you must be deaf because we make loads of noise, I think they said. I think that's what they said.
No, and also as well, they said, we're not undercover like you lot.
Yeah. Well, sounds like you're taking the mick out of them there, but anyway.
Well, whatever. Anyway. Kudos to you all. You were very loud yesterday.
It was a great run by Mullen as well. Across his marker, got to the front post.
Shotted it and headed it.
No, yeah, it was a decent header. I don't think he's particularly well known for his headering, but he scored two headed goals on Saturday. Having said that, but
this is a new thing for him.
Very much, he's a very much a movement player.
Yeah.
You know, the defence in the middle was quite static. He nipped in front of the guy and he was there at the front post, headed it in, you know.
Accrington players were livid.
Yeah. Rightly so, because I think, like I say, they were very static. And I think it was avoidable for them if they were a little bit more on their toes, knew where the attacking players were. It was avoidable, I would say. He got second on 25, arguably. It definitely was the best of the three that he got on the day. McLean.
It was, because he saw McLean with the ball and he was kind of going full throttle towards the goal, obviously for him to pass it.
Yeah.
But McLean sort of passed it early
and
Mullen had to kind of like take a step back and like you know
it's great work by McLean in the middle, got the ball in the middle, good high press out into Mullen and Mullen hit it really early. I wasn't really expecting him to hit it that early.
No.
And he did. Look, it was right in the corner, it was perfect. Like I say, definitely the best of his three that he got.
I loved his little McLean came up to him after the goal And Mullen just looked at him and went, he like put his two fingers up, like, yeah, that's two. And McLean hugged him. And was yeah. like, do you know what? I just love the way these guys are together.
Yeah, and then 10 minutes later, he got his third. Arguably the easiest of the three.
Yeah.
The ball went across. I think he did his best to miss, to be honest, because I've seen the replay and it was sort of like, it was an open goal.
Yeah.
And he headed it, but he headed it right in the corner. It's like he didn't really need to put it that far over. Look, but...
Maybe he just wanted to make sure it went in the goal.
Yeah, probably. And then just before half-time... Then Elliot Lee gets the fourth, doesn't he? Which, that was a great goal as well. Absolutely great goal. Assist from Mullen. You know, he just came into his feet. It was one touch, bang. The keeper didn't have a chance for that
four
one.
Four goals in 36 minutes. Lee scored his in 40. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
You confused me. Sorry.
Mullen got his hat trick in the first 36 minutes.
Yeah.
Lee got his in the 41st minute. And then... Yeah,
job done.
I've got a fact for you, a little statistic.
Yeah.
It's the first time it's the first time Paul Mullen's got a hat-trick in the first half.
Is it? Yeah. In his career or just for Wrexham?
Just for Wrexham, I think.
Okay.
Could be his career, but I think it's just Wrexham. And it's the first hat-trick that has been scored in the first half.
Yeah.
Since Jordan Davis' hat trick, I can't remember who he played, but
yeah.
It was 2021.
Okay, so.
So he's the first one.
Cool. Happy days.
Yeah. I really hope that those stats are correct because.
They better not be. You haven't just made them up in your head.
No, I've definitely not made them up. I've definitely looked.
So Palmer starts and Mullen gets a hat trick.
Yep.
Coincidence? That is my question.
No.
No, not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence at all.
No.
No. Ollie needs Mullen and Mullen needs Palmer.
Yeah.
I think them two together. Yes, it works with Fletcher, and I'm yet to see it with Marriott.
Yeah,
because they're both the same size, so they wouldn't necessarily be on at the same time.
No.
But anyway, or Dalby, I meant to say. But Palmer and Mullen, they are, like you said, the dynamic duo, and I just think, and maybe he needed Palmer there.
Yeah.
To give him that little bit more confidence.
Yeah. Muscle memory, maybe as well. You know, play together so much, and then all of a sudden you're playing with a strike partner that you played with and you played with for so many games and scored so many goals while they were there.
Mm.
All of a sudden, it just feels more comfortable that you've got your mate next to you again that you remember scoring loads of goals. And I don't think it was a fluke that all of a sudden Ollie's back, you know, and Paul's banging him in for fun again. It doesn't feel like a coincidence to me. It feels like...
There was rumours going around that there was some sort of issue between Ollie and Paul.
It didn't look like that yesterday, did it?
Yeah, to be honest, I was looking when Mullen scored, Palmer went straight over to him and they hugged, and I thought there's no beef between them.
We
two
don't
at
look.
All.
Ultimately, we don't know.
No, but
we've heard that wasn't true, but. You don't really know. And also, just because they were really pally on Saturday doesn't mean they've fallen out, had a row, made up, and now they're friends again.
They're grown men, though. I mean,
yeah, but people fall out all the time. Doesn't matter how old you are, does it? Do you know what I mean? But there was no sense of any sort of fallout on Saturday. They just seemed back together. You know, Mullen was feeding off Palmer, Palmer, little knockdowns to Mullen, and it just felt right on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think it, like you said, I just don't think it's a coincidence, and I'm hoping that Parkey sees sense and starts Mullen and Palmer on Saturday against Morecambe.
So he scored 95 goals for us now.
Yeah, I gave you that stat.
Well, I already knew it because I'd written it down.
Had you, though?
Yes.
Really?
So he scored 95 goals for us. He is, you know, he's jumping up the all-time Wrexham top scorers.
What was his goal record last season?
He scored loads.
Was it 101? Or was that
101? He hasn't gone down. What are you on about?
I can't remember what it was, but it was high, wasn't it?
Yeah, he scored 40-odd last season.
Oh, right, okay.
He's on 95 in total. The people on the all-time list just above him are all quite close. So he could jump up and end up in the top 10 all-time Wrexham goal scorers quite soon.
Oh, just the Wrexham scorers, not like Haaland or anything like that?
No, just all-time okay. Wrexham goal scorers. You know, there's a few there that he can overtake quite soon. Do you think he'll get to 100 this season? Not the 100 for the season. What I mean is 100 within this season.
So he's got five more goals to get 100, to 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think so, yeah?
Maybe on Saturday against Morecambe. Bangler for another hat trick and a brace. Can you have a hat trick and a brace at the same time?
No, that would just be five, wouldn't it? It would be a hat trick and a brace. You don't add it up. You don't get a hat trick and go, I've scored three singles there.
All right. He could score five goals.
No, he won't. But
how do you know?
He won't. Oh, shall we have a little private bet, shall we?
Yeah, let's have a private bet.
Okay. You think he's going to score five? I think he's not going to score five. So we'll I'm happy to go 100 quid on that.
No.
No, no, no.
You could do the washing for a week.
Okay, and what are you going to do?
Nothing.
We'll discuss that off camera.
Okay. Yes. Anyway, back to the football.
Let's move on.
Let's swiftly move on.
He had a chance to make it to get his fourth just before halftime as well. It was a decent save by the keeper.
It's hat trick plus one.
Yeah, it's hat trick plus one, yeah. Or a double brace. Oh my God, why do people watch this? Anyway, let's get back to it. And then we got to halftime. It sort of felt like everyone just took a big breath. Everyone was like, there we go.
Altrincham fans will leave. Altrincham. Keep calling him Altrincham.
That's the third time you've said Altrincham this week.
I don't know why.
I don't know either.
Accrington. Accrington fans were leaving.
I'm not sure they were leaving. I think they were just going...
Oh, after in the second half they were.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, fair they enough. Were, second half.
It felt like... I felt relaxed. I had a beer at half-time. I was nice and chilled. We did our half-time show. And it just felt nice, didn't it? Everyone seemed happy. There was I didn't hear any negative comments at halftime. Why would you? You're 4-0 up at halftime. Didn't hear any negative comments all day, I'm perfectly honest, which was nice because a lot of the negative comments usually come from me.
Well, there were negative comments.
Yes.
Not about Parky.
No.
Not about Mullen.
No.
Not about Palmer.
No.
But about the scarves.
Oh, the scarves.
The scarves.
Yes.
If you're watching this on YouTube, I have got the scarf. Yesterday, the club, I think it was something to do with the United Airlines. I think they're the ones that gave the flags or...
Scarves, they're called.
What
flags.
Did I say?
Flags.
What is wrong with me? I thought I was going to be better this week. So when we went out, there were scarves on every single seat.
Yeah.
Obviously not the away fans because they would just burn them.
Yeah.
So... It was such a nice little touch.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
I know this has got nothing to do with the football, but it really got my goat.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody who sits in their seats had a scarf. The chair next to me was empty. Mm. So I left that scarf where it was. Mm. But there was some on the other side of us. There was people that weren't in their seats that I know that do come regularly, but obviously maybe because of the rain, it was just not viable for them to come that day. But people were stealing, and that is what it's called. People were stealing, or whatever, other people's scarves.
So
people were walking out with not just one scarf, but people had about three or four around their necks.
Do you know for a fact? Because you're making quite bold claims here. Do you know for a fact that the people who took them scarves weren't friends with the people who would normally sit there?
I don't know.
Do you know?
No.
No, you don't.
But it wasn't just them. There was lots of people doing it.
But maybe lots of people didn't have friends who did that. That's all I'm saying.
And?
I did see one guy with six, though. But that's not to say he didn't know the five people who weren't there that day, and he thought, I'll grab their scarf for them. Maybe he was being a nice citizen, and now he's being called out as a thief.
All right, maybe they were, but there were definitely people were taking them when they shouldn't have. And
you say definitely, you don't know.
And somebody has put the scarf, one scarf, on eBay, and I think these are all false bids.
Definitely, yeah.
Because it is on. I checked this morning, and it is now on 98,003,000.
But just to clarify, you think these are false bids?
Yeah, because I've seen. Well, I hope to God. Who would pay? I'm not being funny. As much as I love Wrexham, I would not pay 98 million for a scarf.
I think loads of people have been going on
because they think
just
it's disgusting.
Bidding and thinking you're selling something you got for free. So people are just putting stupid bids on just to.
The
to
delivery cost though is only £2.75.
Oh,
so,
that's good.
Yeah. So 98 million pounds.
You'd think it'd be free delivery, wouldn't you?
For 98 million, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, and there was another one, 1,500.
What's that?
It's just, honestly, it beggars belief.
Yeah.
But somebody, I think it was either Rob Ryan Red. It was either Rob Ryan Red, Fearless and Devotional, Racecourse Ramble. I can't remember which one. It was one of those that said that these scarves, because they've got the United bit on it, these will be a collector's item.
It was Fearless, actually.
Was
said
it Fearless?
Yeah, because
Sorry,
he said it's a collector's item because as far as they're aware and as far as I'm aware as well, it's the only scarf we've ever had with a sponsor's logo embroidered on it.
They never had I4 trailers on?
No, not on a scarf, no.
So, yeah, so
potentially a collector's item, so we'll put that away.
So, yep.
Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
You put yours away. I'm wearing mine to the football.
Yeah. So there was a few chances in the second half to sort of add to it. Mullin, Barnett, Tozer all had shots well saved by the keeper. The keeper did pretty well in the second half. Yeah, I mean, he had a mare in the first half, but yeah. It would have been nice to get a couple more.
Yeah.
But four.
Not greedy, but four
was enough. Man of the match was, it was only, we did talk about
this
briefly.
We did talk about this.
I mean, it was only ever going to be one person, wasn't it? You know, you don't score a hat trick and then get a man of the match gets given to somebody else. It just doesn't happen.
I was talking, there's two little boys who sit next to me. We were saying, who do you think they'll give man of the match to? And they were like, oh, don't know. And I said, oh, they'll probably just give it to Penn. Oh, no, I said it to Penn. Oh, no, he said they'll give it to Mullen. And I said, it depends who. Who the man of the match sponsors want to meet.
Yeah.
I said, they might even say Tozer, who's sitting on the bench and hasn't done anything for the game. But it was Mullen, and I think well-deserved.
Yeah, of course it is.
And probably much needed for him.
Yes, I think so. Man of the match performance, he scored three, and it was only ever going to be him. But I think a couple of honourable mentions that we really need to make in the game. I think Max was one.
He's my new favourite.
Fantastic. He plays so well beyond his years, I would say, for such a young player. He was just, again, a lot of teams go to kick lumps out of him sometimes, but he's so composed. And he is going to be, we just need to hold on to him because he's going to be an amazing player.
Yeah.
He's doing really well now, don't get me wrong. But he will be able to play at a lot higher level. So we need to keep up with the level that Max can play at, I think. So we need to go up, and we need to go up again, because I think, give it 3-4 years, Max is got championship at least written all over
him. He's 21.
His mid-20s, he will be a championship player.
Yeah.
100%. So, you know, we just need to hope that we can hold on to him and, you know, we can keep him developing along with us and getting him the game time that he needs.
Love him.
Ollie was another one. Yep. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Ollie. You know, I thought he was really good and he brought the best out in Paul. Jacob as well. I thought he was fantastic.
The bunches.
It's the bunches.
Definitely the bunches. You've got to wear them again.
Very attacking. I like him attacking. I'm not his biggest defensive fan. Jacob, if I'm honest, but he does a job, don't get me wrong, but he is not the best defender. But going forward, when we have games when we're very attacking, he shines for me, and he really did on Saturday.
Yeah.
And probably Elliot Lee as well, just to throw that one out there. He was super.
He needed that goal, I think, as well.
Yeah, you know, he scored so many.
Yeah.
And then it sort of dried up and things weren't working for him. And, you know, he played really well on Saturday. So, yeah.
So other results from Saturday. Well, the Stockport game against Colchester was called off.
Yeah.
Colchester. I bit my tongue again when I said that.
Colchester. Colchester. I was like, what?
I bit my tongue again. Anyway, Mansfield won 1 away to Newport.
Sorry?
What did I say?
1-1. They won 1.
1-0. I should be just... put me in a box somewhere.
I will.
And put me away.
In the ground. Sorry, I thought that's what you meant.
No.
Okay,
just
sorry.
In the dark room somewhere.
Okay, sorry.
Crewe lost 3-2 at home to Morecambe, which was...
Wow, I mean, this was huge. I mean, they...
When did they score their...
No, it wasn't like late, nothing like that, but Crewe were 2-0 up.
It was the MK Dons game.
Yeah, Crewe were 2-0 up, and we were doing a live at the end of the game. And somebody came on the live with a comment and saying, oh, I can't believe Crewe have lost as well. And I was like, what? Because we were so into the game without really keeping tabs on what, you know, Crewe went 2-0 up. And it's sort of like, I'm not really going to check that score now. You know, they've won that. So for them to go from 2-0 up to lose 3-2, I mean, it was just perfect for us. Absolutely perfect. Only that Mansfield won. You know, I mean, it was a pretty decent
day. And Stockport's game was called off.
Yes.
And then finally, MK Dons lost 1-0 away at Wimbledon. And
watch that as well.
Yeah.
Stonker.
I think a lot of people were happy. And there was a comment on there about the when they scored, they went over to the crowd and there was a little ball per- oh, you have to call him ball person now, don't you? There was a boy standing in the corner and the player just picked him up and he looked so happy.
He did, but then he got completely smothered under all the...
I didn't see him after that.
Look, the scenes, I think, you know, it's one of, if not the only, it might only be like, they haven't beat MK Dons a lot of times at Wimbledon. There's obviously a lot of...
history,
fierce rivalry between them two because of what happened. If you don't know what happened, just Google it and read the story. And I really like the fact that Wimbledon got one over on them. Twofold. One, I don't particularly like MK Dons very much because of nothing. I've got nothing against the players or the management or anything like that. Just because of what happened and the way that they ripped a club out and went, we're having that, and it goes
and
over.
We're moving and changing the name
and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't particularly like them very much for that. Just the fact that it really helped us out as well. That, you know,
so
a team.
Thank you for that, Morgan. Yeah.
What?
Oh
dear. and it really helped us out that a team that were chasing us down.
Yeah.
A lot dropped points. You know, so really good for us. Really good.
I shouldn't be allowed on this podcast.
I know. You have bad days.
I do have bad days, but it seems to be on a Sunday when we're doing the podcast.
You have. I tell you what's happening. You know, Wrexham have had this lull.
I'm having a lull.
You're having a lull.
Oh.
And it is stretching across a few weeks now, so I think it's about time you get your mojo back and you maybe...
I thought I'd have it back today, to be fair, but no. Yeah. Anyway.
So we're now third in the league. We're 3 points behind Mansfield, but we played a game more. We're level with Stockport, who are in second, but we've played a game more than them. We're 2 ahead of Crewe in fourth, 5 ahead of MK Dons, and we're 10 points ahead of 8th. The reason I put 8th in there is 8th is the place just below the playoffs. So we're nice and comfortably in the playoffs, but currently we're sitting in the automatic promotion places. So
yes!
Some people who got in touch, Ben Parker said, give yourself half a point each for the predictions.
Oh, yeah.
Because together you got it right. Because I went 1-0 and you went 3-0 and it was 4-0. So together...
Didn't even know that, yeah.
Half a point. Yeah,
we'll take that, Ben. We'll take that.
It was great seeing all the big smiles walking back to the car today. Hopefully this is the turning point and it was Mulls putting the league on notice. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Ben.
Dave Middleton, 6479. Tozer won't be able to crack the starting 11 unless we have an injury or wrap up a top spot before the end of the season. He's out of contract, as is Hayden.
Yes. So it'll be interesting. I think with Ben, so Ben's 34? Turned 34
just
last
turned
week.
Just turned 34, yeah.
So he's getting to that point in his career where he has still got something to give.
Yep.
But whether he's got something to give...
Us.
No, I don't mean that. Whether he's got something to give every single week of a 46-game season, I'm not sure. But I very much see Ben as someone who's going to go into like a coaching or sort of management sort of thing. So I think Ben is someone who is very good to keep around. You know, he's a leader. And if he isn't going to play, I would really like to see him move into some sort of coaching and still be part of the club. I think that would be really good for us.
Definitely.
I think.
So we have got another game coming up with Morecambe.
This is Morecambe.
This is Morecambe.
This is the Morecambe bit. You go for it.
So it's a League Two match again, and it's on Saturday, the 9th of March. It's an away game at the Mazuma Mobile Stadium.
Yes.
And it's kickoff at 3 o'clock.
It was only built in 2010, you know.
Was it?
Yes, it's brand new. Brand new. They moved, and I think it's always been called the Mazuma Mobile Stadium. No, actually, it was called something else. I can't remember what it is. Sorry, interrupted you.
Unfortunately, you can get tickets, so we won't be seeing
you.
No. So it's available for international fans only, as it is on 3 o'clock kickoff. 96 miles away from here, so it's just about an hour and a half.
A bit more than an hour and a half, probably between an hour and a half and
an hour and a
quarter.
It takes an hour and a half to get to Lancaster.
Okay.
Which is just before Morecambe, I think.
Okay.
The last game was the 6-0 win in November when Paul Mullen scored a hat-trick plus three. I'm joking. Yep, do you want to read this next bit?
Yeah, thanks.
Go on.
Thanks for that, Sian. I'll carry on with this one. they won 3-2 away to Crewe on Saturday, as we said, after being 2-0 down. The last five, they've won two, drawn two and lost one. This season, they've won 14, drawn 9 and lost 11. They're ninth on 51 points at the moment. They're 3 points outside of the playoffs.
So they're going to be gunning for something on Saturday.
Yeah, 100%. They've definitely got something to play for in the playoffs.
Yep.
It's not going to be a rollover. They also play Crawley on Tuesday.
I think they're the only League Two game on Tuesday.
No, there's five, I think, on Tuesday. And they're one of them. Yes.
Oh.
So there you go.
I thought there was only one.
No, their top scorer is Jordan Slew. Sort of. They had Michael Mellon. He went to Dundee. He'd scored like 15 or 16, I think. He's playing for Dundee now. They had another guy. They had JJ who played. I think he scored most of his goals for somebody else, maybe. I'm not sure. But yeah, Jordan Slew's their top scorer with six. Prediction?
3-1.
3-1 Wrexham. It's going to be tough, this is. I'm going to go for 2-1 Wrexham. Okay.
Happy.
Quick shout out for Dragon Chat. It's a mental health peer support group. They run two weekly Zoom calls. There's one for women on a Monday at 8 p.m. and there's one on Thursday at 7 p.m. for the men. They run for about an hour and a half. It's great service. You can talk about your mental health. You can talk about how you're feeling. Lots of chat about the football as well. It'd be a good one to go on next week because we've just won as
well.
So. The best thing to do is follow Dragon Chat Steve Lloyd on Twitter. I saw Steve on Saturday, actually.
Did you?
Yes, you went to get food and I said hello and we had a quick hello and stuff. So, yeah.
Hi, Steve.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can do on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or email us at me, the wife, and WrexhamAFC@gmail.com. Right, it's quiz time.
Yay.
So,
no, I'm excited.
Two lies, one truth, five sections, three statements, two of them are lies, one of them is the truth. You have to tell me what the truth is. Play along at home. Okay, number one.
Yes.
We played Forest Green Rovers on Tuesday. It was our first game of the season where we didn't pick up any yellow cards. Forest Green only had one shot on target, which was the goal. Or we had at least double the possession, shots, corners, and passes Forest Green did.
I'm going to say number three.
You would be right to say number three. Well done.
Who got a yellow card?
No, nobody did. Nobody got a yellow card, but it wasn't the first time season that had happened.
Okay.
We played Accrington on Saturday.
Yeah, we did, baby.
James McLean picked up his eighth yellow card of the season. Max Cleworth started his sixth game in a row. Paul Mullin scored his 13th goal of the season.
Well, I know Paul Mullin scored 14 goals this season, so that's wrong.
Okay.
I'm going to go with McLean and his yellow cards.
It was McLean's 9th yellow card of the season. So, yeah, it was Max Cleaver's 6th game in a row.
I should have gone with Little Mighty Max.
You should have done, yes. We play Morecambe on Saturday. The last time we played them, we beat them 6-0. Although we scored 6 goals, there were only 2 Wrexham scorers. That was the last game Anthony Ford played for Wrexham. It's the only game this season where we had no goal kicks.
Anthony Ford.
It is Anthony Ford. Well done.
3 for 3, baby. There was only... Oh, no, 2. Oh, yeah. Damn.
There was only 3 Wrexham scorers. Paul Mullin got 3. Mendy got 1. James Jones got 1. And there was an own goal. So... there we go. Wrexham launched February Goal of the Month on Friday. On the list was Rosie Hughes' goal against Pontypridd, Sam Dalby's goal against Salford, and Will Boyle's goal against Sutton.
Rosie's.
It is Rosie's, yes. Well done. I'll be honest, I decided to do that question. Slim pickings in February. There wasn't many goals scored. So, yeah.
I reckon Paul Mullin's goals are going to be on for March.
Yeah, at least one of them. Anyway.
Yeah.
One of the following statements is true. We have now scored 67 goals in the league this season. We have now won 19 games this season. We now have 33 points left to play for this season.
33 points.
Well done. 4 out of 5, which is the only one you got wrong
McLean
there.
McLean one.
Ah, so you're drawn to McLean, aren't you, in the headband?
Oh, yes. Talking of McLean.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched Two Beards episode from this week, I make a cameo appearance. We're talking about my favourite position.
Sorry, that just felt like a brick falling on the floor then. Sorry.
Ryan knew all about this. I didn't know that he knew all about this until he told me that you knew all about this.
How many times have you said knew all about this?
Anyway, so I was talking about, I think you asked me what position that I think that McLean is good in.
Yeah.
And I said, I like McLean in any position.
Yeah.
And obviously, with the dirty minds of Adrian and Chris from Two Beards, they misconstrued it.
They clipped it.
They made me their legend of the week. So it wasn't all bad.
No,
so
no.
Thank you, boys. And thank you for lying and keeping it secret.
I didn't lie. Just didn't tell you.
You didn't tell, yeah.
No. So. Well, thank you very much for watching us, listening to us again this week. And we will see you again next week, hopefully with another 3 points in the bag. See you then.
Bye.